lay out the heart next week, try to dig in a little deeper, put aside some money for missions giving next week, if you would. I've already made my mind. That's what I'm going to try to do. At least try to give a double offering or something if I have to. Take your Bibles, if you would. I want you to turn to the book of Judges. And then I want you to turn over to hold your place in Judges and turn over to Joshua. I read some notes here concerning these two books. Of course, we find in the book of Joshua the fact that of a successful campaign under the leadership of God, Joshua, who had made up his mind way back yonder when he was a spy, that God was able to give him what he promised he would do. And then you find, after he passes off the scenes over in the book of Judges, a totally different scenario. And as one guy had wrote some notes down in my Bible, he said it could very well be called Book of Judges. It could be wrote the Book of Failures, because they failed to do what God had commanded them to do.
What chapter you say?
Huh?
Judges what?
Yeah, just Joshua chapter 24. And we're going back, as the preacher has been trying to get us. It's been 2 years ago I started a series on war. And we read from Numbers, and in Numbers it said that God had commanded them to number all the people, men that were able to go forth to war. And we looked at that, you know, being able to go forth to war, and we're going back through that. But we're going to look at it and try to see a little bit more. I mean, it's easy to think, you know, hey, I'm a believer. I pray, I read my Bible, and we're the people of God. And these were the people of God. They believed in God, but they had this tendency. They also liked the world a whole lot. They knew that God was God, but they liked the world. They liked what everybody else was doing. They want to be a part of that. And I'm wondering if part of the thing that's going on in the church today is, yes, they know that God is right, God is true, God is the only one that can make a difference in this world. But I'm afraid that they also, this church today likes the world. And we need to examine ourselves, I feel like, and we're going to start off going through Joshua, looking at different failures and what had brought them on. The things that kind of got in the way. For example, think of Samson. Think of his mighty gifts and power that God had given him. But did he at all deliver his people out of the hands of the Philistines? He kept them at bay, but he never did deliver them out of the hands. He destroyed and killed a bunch of them, but he never did completely fulfill what it was that he was meant to do. And there were some reasons, and we know some of those reasons, don't we? He liked ladies. That was one of his problems. And that's a problem that all men, if he's a man, is going to have to deal with. Amen. Huh? I've heard people say, well, I had a fellow tell me, so that don't bother me. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, stay back. If that don't bother you, then I don't want you getting too close to me. You know? Hey, I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Let's look here, though, in the book of Joshua. And I'll tell you what, we're just going to read the entire chapter, chapter 24, and hear what some of the last words of Joshua was. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old times, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterwards brought you out." Ain't that interesting? They went down into Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world, and it's something they had a problem with all their days. Come over into the book of Jeremiah, and they said, "Well, Jeremiah, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, God has done give them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and told them to serve Nebuchadnezzar. He said, if you serve Nebuchadnezzar, who is my servant, he said, it'll go well with you, and you'll be able to dwell in your land, and I'll multiply you, and I'll give this land back to you." That's what he told them. They said, "Inquire of God." They told Jeremiah, "Inquire of God for us." And so he did. He came on. He said, "But," he said, "if you know wise, listen to me, and you go down into Egypt," he said, "I'm going to chase you out from down there, and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to destroy you. You're going to make me mad," is what he's saying. And what did they do? They said, "Huh." Told Jeremiah, said, "God didn't tell you that. You just want to stay up here so Nebuchadnezzar come and get us and destroy us. You just want us destroyed." Why in the world would they ask him to inquire of God if they wasn't going to believe him?
Come on.
Huh?
Amen.
How many times do a preacher stand up and tell us, "Thus saith the Lord," and they say, "I don't think that's really what the preacher, I really don't think that's what God said." Huh? I don't think that's really what God said. I don't think that's what he meant by that. I think he meant what he said. I told that Jehovah's Witness this week. I told him, I said, "You know the thing about it is, I'm a Bible believer. I just believe what the Bible says." Huh?
Amen.
I don't try to figure it out. I just take it for its word. And I said, and if it's figurative, it'll tell me it's figurative. It'll show you that it's a figurative statement. And it'll explain to you what he means by it. But other than that, it means exactly what it says.
Amen.
And we need to take it to heart.
Amen.
I read over in the Old Testament. I'm trying to think what book it is. Brother Rick might know. The Lord told the people, he said this. It's a cross the board statement. He said, if you see the innocent being drawn unto death, he says, "Do I not see it? And shall I not render under you what you deserve for not doing what you should do? You allow it to go on?" It's been on preacher's mind about this thing abortion. It was on my mind before that. And when he spoke that, boy, I said, "Amen." He tried. You know, we have. Let me ask something. When's the last time you got on your knees and shed tears thinking about people murdering their own children? That's one of the things that God talked about over here in the Bible. They sacrificed their children unto Moloch. He said, which thing I never asked of you to do. I didn't ask you to sacrifice your children. As a matter of fact, we find where God had said to Abraham to take and sacrifice his son Isaac. He said, "No, don't do that." He never had no intention of him sacrificing his child. And he wanted to make it clear that he had no intention. He wanted them to sacrifice their children. But we got them doing it all the time right now. And why? because of this very thing right here. I think they went down into Egypt and they never got Egypt out of them. They kept on wanting to go back to Egypt. Go back to Egypt. I want to go back to Egypt. That with the leeks and the onions and the melons and the fish, huh? And the bondage. And the bondage. Amen. The way of the transgressor is hard. And he says to them, now, let me go on here. They went down into Egypt, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. You came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them unto your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. And then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel. You know, that was pointless. God told them not to even mess with Moab, to leave them alone. Who you reckon stirred them up? Huh? God didn't have an occasion against them. He told them not to mess with them, that they were their cousins and they weren't to mess with them. You leave them alone. I'm not giving you their land. Reckon who it was that stirred them up. Mm-hmm. And called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. Now, we got a thought in here in this world today. Well, it just ain't fair that God would sit and judge people that never heard about God. I got news for you. They've heard. One way or another, they've heard God. God speaks. This is a man, he was a priest of the Most High God. He knew who God was. He knew who God Almighty was. The Bible said whom he blessed was blessed, and whom he cursed was cursed. And it said that the king called him and said, curse this people. And he said, well, let me inquire of God. And God said, you in no wise shall curse this people, they're my people. He went the next morning, told him, said, hey, forget that, I can't go. Don't ever second-guess God, because that's what he did, didn't he? Mm-hmm. You know why he second-guessed God? Mm-hmm. Oh, he believed him. He just wanted that money. He wanted that position. Mm-hmm. What did he want to do? He wanted what the world had to give more than what God had to give. You look over in the book Revelation, and you find him mentioned. He said, well, you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, which was covetousness. The church. This doctrine of covetousness was in the church.
Yes, sir.
Man, we hear it preached, don't we not? It's all over the television and the radio. We hear it preached. You serve God. Hey, you serve God. You do right. He's going to bless you. You ain't going to have no problems. Hey, tell you what. You just put and sow forth a seed so God that can bless that seed. And you'll be doing fine. I never said that. Bible said it plainly. He said, it's given unto you not only to believe on his name, but to suffer for his sakes. Mm-hmm. All things. Paul said, having food and raiment, therewith be content. And contentment with godliness is great gain. But the Bible said, they that would be rich would be pierced through in many sorrows. You want to know what's wrong with America? She's pierced through with many sorrows. She desires to be rich more than she desires to be rich in the things of God. Well, it goes on, it says, then he says, and he rose up and warred against Israel and went and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you, but I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan, came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, but not, nor with thy bow. And I've given you a land for which you did not lay. You see what the difference was? God was fighting for them. Amen. You find them later, they went out and they couldn't drive them out. You know why? Yeah, God wasn't fighting for them. They were trying to do it in their own strength. You know? They were half-heartedly following God. We'll see that as we go on. I give you a land for which you did no labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. If you ever where they went, man, they was picking up gods. And if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, right before they went into the land, he told them to put aside your gods. They already had them in the camp again. Does anybody in here know what idolatry is? What does the Bible say idolatry is?
The worship of things not of God.
That's right. Things. Covetousness. Covetousness, which is idolatry. It don't have to be some kind of little image that you printed out. Might be an automobile. Might be a house. It might be a parcel of land. It might be money. It might be a better job. It might be all kinds of things. Whatever it is that gets in between you and God, and you serve it more than you do the Lord.
Yes, sir.
So basically, idolatry is self-worship.
Gratification.
When you serve yourself, and you worship yourself, and live for yourself. It says in, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Well, they already were doing it. They were right to say God forbid, because he did. He did forbid them to do it. But they did it anyway. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out. Brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way which we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And they were right. He is their God. He's everybody's God. He's the God of all creation. They knew this. Wasn't a doubt in their mind who God was. I guarantee there ain't a person in this room that doesn't know that God is God. His name is Jehovah. His name is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, so we know him. We know what he done for us. And they knew, just like he said right here, all the things we know that he done this for us. We know that he did this. Okay? And that so they knew that he was God. They knew it and they wanted his protection. They wanted his strength and his power. I used to like a song. I'm going to give you words of this song. I might have to sing it. They do it. But this song basically tells, this is about average what a Christian is. Once it was my working, is it hence shall be. Once I tried to use him, but now he uses me. Once his power I wanted, but now the mighty one. Once for self I labored, but now himself alone. Once I hoped in Jesus. That's what they were doing. But now I know he's mine. Once my lights were dying, but now they brightly shine. Once his was his coming, but now his coming's paled. Because my hopes are anchored, safe within his veil. All in all is Jesus, of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is my everything. You see, they knew him, but he wasn't their everything. They wanted to use him, but they didn't want let him use them. We got a church that's just like that today. I used to have a thing on my head. There's a cross in my pocket here. You see that? You know, and I ain't got one of those anymore, but I still got one. I got one. I do have one that says "Trust in God." But the thing of it is, that's way a lot of people are. They want to pull God out of their pocket whenever they need him to pull God. You see the circumstances we're in. And we're getting ready to look at a nation. They did that over and over and over and over and over. You know, the Bible said that they are our example. Wonder why God gave them for an example for the whole world. Because we got the same problems. We got the same things going on. We got the same kind of problems. And if we don't watch ourselves, I don't care how much we're in church and how much we serve the Lord, how much we try to stay busy and keep our minds focused, if we ain't careful, we can get in that same shape. Because it's like the preacher said, any old dead fish can float downstream. It's a fight. It's a fight. And God told them it was a fight, and they were going to have to fight. You want to be free? He said, it's a fight. Now, the Lord has made us free. But I'm going to tell you what. Like Brother Joe Allen used to say all the time. He says, oh, no, the devil can't possess you anymore. But I tell you what he can do. He can get on your shoulder and whisper to you all the time. And if he gets your mind and he gets your heart, what else do they need? Amen? He said, because you are going to be of no significant use of God.
He can destroy the witness.
That's right. There's a lot of things he can do.
So it's a fight. It's a battle. And Paul made it plain. He said, it's a war, it's a fight, and you find him in the fight constantly, and you find him under the attack constantly. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall. Not might, not could, shall. You know the difference? Will, okay? Let's say it in modern vernacular. You will be persecuted if you're living godly.
Because they persecuted and hated Jesus. And to be godly is to be like, just let him have control in your life. And when you do that, and a lot of people ain't going to like it. Family ain't going to like it. Hey, church, a lot of church members won't like it. You said, what? Church members? A lot of church members won't like it. Bless God. Man, I've known people who tried to walk straight. Man, they'd be all over them in the church house. You know why? Well, they want to bring them down. Want to bring them down where they felt more comfortable. Or there was conviction there. You have a church full of people living, striving to do what God wants. That church is going to be a target in the community. But, praise God, you know what that'll mean? They know who we are. God didn't call us to obscurity. He called us to battle. He called us to get in the fight. And we don't fight with anger. We fight with love. We fight with peace. We fight with joy. You know what we do? We stand. Amen. When everybody else is full of hate, we keep ourselves full of love. When we overcome the enemy, hey, with violence, no. We overcome them with peace, equity and justice, love and tenderness and mercy. But it's war. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Their weapons wasn't meant to be carnal either. Their weapons were supposed to have been spirit, which was God Almighty who would fight the battle for them. Same for us today. I'm afraid a lot of people, they get like me, they get all mad. They want to go blow up some abortion clinics. Wouldn't do for me to be president. I'd call in the military. We'd go burn every last one of them down. Huh? Might as well get the liquor stores while we're at it, amen. Huh? All the hell holes and honky tonks and stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus comes back, that's what he's going to do. When he comes back, that's what he's going to do. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. But for today, it's grace, fellas. We can overcome whatever comes our way with the grace of God, for it is more than sufficient, more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. He said, and the Lord drave out before us all the people, even Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And listen to what Joshua had said. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He knew them people, didn't he? He said, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the... If. Would he forgive their transgressions and their sins? Yes, he would. Because there's a big word right there at the end. It says, if. He won't forgive if. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he have done you good. And the people said in Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. Oh, my goodness. What if they'd have just said, God, help us. If we can't serve you, help us. Because where can we go? It's just like Peter said to Jesus, Lord, where can we go? He said, will you forsake me also? He said, where can we go? Where could they have went? There's only one way to go, and that was forward with God. But he told them the truth. He said, you can't serve the Lord, for he's holy. But in confidence, they said, oh, we'll serve God. Huh? We'll serve the Lord. I'm afraid sometimes we can get like that too. We can get so confident. We've been in this thing a while. We've been in church. You know, hey, we said, well, we're going through. But are we going through effectively? Or are we doing what we're going to look at in the book of Judges and see how they failed to do what God told them to? And because of that, they was in a fight. I mean, a fight and losing. A losing fight. Over and over and over and over and over again.
Said, nay, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said unto witness, said unto the people, you are witness against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, listen what he says right here. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. See, they already had them amongst them. Their heart was already divided. God told Joshua when they come up, he said, their heart is already moving away from me. God look, he don't look what we're doing on the outside. He's look what we're doing on the inside. If they'd only said, God, you're right. We're wrong. We can't serve you. You think you can live this Christian life? You think you can live the Christian life?
Try not to die myself.
Bible says, you know, ain't one person who lived this Christian life, not Jesus Christ. We've got to surrender, let him live in us.
You know, David, I've seen people, they look at things this way. Don't want him to bother me until I need him.
Oh, yeah. That's what he did. That's exactly, that's what I said. They got him in his pocket. They get him out and they run. Oh, God. Grab me my witch. Treat him like he's a genie. Or like the preacher said, spare a tire. Give a flap some words. Like an old thing about God is my co-pilot. And we ain't nothing but a bunch of drunk drivers. Next thing you know, we're over in the ditch. Oh, God. And the Lord comes along, gets us out of the ditch. We're going down the road. I can handle it now. Move over.
You know, I was talking to some people at the church here at my brother's funeral, and they was talking about these kind of things. I told them the problem with us Christians, sometimes we get complacent and we lose that vision that God has given us.
Yeah.
Let me say this, all those trips I made to Concord, I went down there 42 times. But that's not what I wanted to say. The church on the right, the map, the sign out front said, the church with power. It's a big church.
Yeah.
That church don't have any power. Might have the power of Satan in there, but I'm not judging, but I'm just saying that's a bad sign, the church.
Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
When we're yielded to God, all the power, he has all power.
That's right.
It ain't about him giving us power.
Right.
He has the power. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. I wonder what that rock was a symbol of. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. That stone heard every word they said. You remember what Jesus said, don't you? If these be quiet, the rocks or stones will cry out. For he had heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us, and it shall be therein a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart. Do you believe that? Does that not sound insane? That a rock's gonna witness against you? You ever just really think about why you believe the Word of God? Sometimes it just sounds like a big fairy tale, does it not? Be honest. Just be honest. The man dying on the cross is going to deliver us from sin? I mean, there's so many things. Why? I know why. Because it's true. And the Spirit of God hath revealed it unto us. I'm sure to the world it sounds like these people are crazy. They actually believe a rock. I bet some of them people say, that's just a rock. That thing's going to stand a witness against me. He didn't hear nothing. He don't know nothing. It's just a dumb old rock. It's just a rock.
Who made it?
So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. But Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joshua, which the people of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground, which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. That you can find that in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, verses 28, where it was given to him. Next week, we're going to get into that book of Judges. I want you to remember what he told them. He told them, he said, you cannot serve the Lord. And I want to tell you plainly here this morning, you cannot live that Christian life. You cannot overcome the enemies that you deal with, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You cannot. You can't. If we try to do it in our own strength, we will utterly fail. But if we yield ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him truly have his way. And you know what he told them? He said, get those idols out of your life. Get those idols out of your life. Let the Word of God speak to our hearts. And where there's things that come in between us and our God, we need to get it out of our lives, do we not?
Amen.
Whatever it be. You say, but I really enjoy that. I know. I know exactly what you're saying. I was telling him this past week, a fella come up here and he was talking to me about this mixed martial arts. And Brother Rick, I like a watch fight, and I always did. But I know it ain't right. Deep down in my heart, what can be right about two guys beating their brains out for money, for position, for title? What can be right about that? I would say we're not to be a striker. And here they are doing everything they can to knock the other guy down. That ain't the kind of fight we're called to do. But does that not stir us up to want to be that kind of a fighter? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Rick, will you pray for us this morning, please?
Father, we thank you. Word of God. We fall so short. Glory to God in our lives. We ask you, my Father, Lord, that you would help us in these days, Lord, to try to see better. The preacher quotes that in Psalm 119, open thou thy eyes, we might behold wondrous things. Heard the teacher today, what you burned upon his heart, the Lord, this description, dear God, and these people you call your people, that's who we are. Call by thy name, dear Lord, we fall so short. Help us, we pray. God, we let this Bible, this word, purify us, cleanse us. Help us, we pray, our Father, Lord, we lay aside all the weights of sins that so easily beset us. God, that we can't run this race that you have set before us. And help us. Said over and over again, Lord, we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured all that he endured. We ask God you'd help us. Bless the preacher, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Touch the heaven.